How many of you have ever had a dream? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have ever had a bad dream? I had one recently. And it was when I got up to speak, and I couldn't find my notes. I was at that last night. No. How many of you have had a good dream? We've had good dreams. But how many of you have ever had a dream that you know it's from the Lord? Would you raise your hand? And I want to speak to you today on the subject of don't give up on those dreams. When I was in the sixth grade, my mother asked me a question. What do you want to do in life? Two things came out of my mouth. I said, well, I want to travel the world, and I want to sing. Well, I got 50% of that. You don't want me to sing too loud. My children said, Dad, don't sing so loud. But
he sings his own melody.
Yeah. Is that the reason the Bible says women stay silent in the church? The comments.
Now for the rest of the story.
God spoke to Abram. And Abram, he told him the impact of his life. And I believe that God has an impact for every single one of us. You are not an accident going somewhere to happen. You are a planned reality in the kingdom of God. And, you know, the first spiritual dream that I ever had was about impacting Japan. At that point, I don't think I'd ever seen a Japanese. I grew up in Texas where there weren't a lot of Asians hanging around. And I did know that there was a Chinese restaurant that was in the next town. And there was a cook that had a restaurant, and a Chinese guy was in the back room. You never saw Joe. But now you can't go anywhere in the world that you don't find a Filipino, a Chinese, a Nigerian. And you can always find an Indian selling yardage goods, right? And a Chinese that has a restaurant. We're so multicultural. This is what blesses me here this morning, to just see so multicultural. That's because of dreams being fulfilled. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of sharing together. Thank you for this congregation. And thank you, Lord, for all of the individuals that you have gathered here and that you're gathering. And we believe you that we're not only here for ourselves, but we're here to fulfill the dream of you affecting the whole earth. And we call upon your name, and we thank you for each person. Would you just reach out and grab a hand of your neighbor near you and just pray a blessing over their life. Would you just do that real quickly? Just pray a blessing over their lives. Thank you. We're going to look today at the life of Joseph, a dreamer. And it's very interesting. How many of you came from a perfect family? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. And because the Bible says he was out tending the flock with his brothers, and they did something that Joseph didn't like, and he went home and he tattled to his dad, "My brothers did this." I grew up in a dysfunctional family. My sister ran off and got married at 14 years of age. Aye, aye, aye. My brother had some sort of convulsions all the time. I was reading the newspaper one day in my little hometown of 1,927 people. There's more in one floor of the mall down here than I, the little town that I grew up in. And, I was reading the paper and it says, "Nathan Webb married a certain such, such, and such." And it was not my mother. I didn't know that. So we've all come from dysfunctional families. Would you shake your head? And now I know when you get married, you're going to have the first perfect family. Wait until you have a child and you find out how dysfunctional. The Bible says that Joseph, he had a dream. And when he had a dream, he thought he'd be really excited to go tell his brothers about this dream. And so he went and told his brothers about this dream. And he says, "Listen, I had a dream. And you, as my brothers, bowed down to me." Now, I don't know how that would do. If I told my brother he was going to bow down to me, he would have whack like that. And so he thought they'd be excited about it, but they weren't excited about it. In fact, the Bible says that his brothers hated him. Wow, that's a dysfunctional family. And so he had another dream. And he just knew they'd really be excited about this dream. And he said, "Well, 11 of you and the moon and the stars bowed down to me." And the Bible says they hated him more. And his dad says, "You mean we're going to bow down to you?" Wow. I mean, my dad wouldn't have taken that very well. How about your dad? How about your dad? My mom was a real tough customer. She might have started swinging. I don't know. And he kept having these dreams. And the Bible says they hated him and they hated him and they hated him and they hated him. That's not a very good atmosphere for a dream to come to pass. So one day, I'm just telling stories here and I'm going to tell you other stories. He had another dream. And wow, this dream, it just got worse. So one day his brothers were in one area and the dad sent the brothers to check on the brothers. And the brothers were sitting there and they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's bless him." No, that's not what the Bible says. "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him." Whoa. I mean, it just goes from dislike, dislike, dislike to let's kill him. Wow. Now, that's not a very fertile ground for your dreams to be fulfilled. And then one of the brothers stood up and said, "Look, if we kill him, what's going to happen? Let's sell him. Oh, good idea. We'll make some money off this thing." Now, you may have had some difficulties with your brothers and sisters, but I don't think that too many of them planned to sell you. My brother may have wanted to. He was 3 years older than I. He may have wanted to sell me at some time or the other. Now, this just shows us none of us grew up in a perfect environment. But yet God gives dreams, even in imperfect environment. Now, I'm off the notes. Because I got to see what my time is to make sure we... And they actually sold their brother. I know your brother and sister had some ideas about you, but I don't know that they sold you. And this is just like a group of men. It says, after they sold him, they sat down to eat. What do guys think about? They think about their stomach. Very interesting. But here's the thing is, and I want you to think about me with this. Joseph, they sold him. He went down into Egypt. And I'm sure at that particular point, Joseph was saying, what about those dreams I had? And I'm sure he lifted up his voice and said, Lord, you told me that my brothers are going to bow down to me. They wanted to kill me, but now they've sold me. Now, I don't know about you. If my brother sold me, I wouldn't have very positive feelings toward him. And there's critical concerning the dreams that God has given you, how you respond in situations is very critical for the fulfillment of that dream. Now, I know human beings, all of us have a desire and have a dream from God to see fulfillment in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say a real big amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to agree with God's purpose for your life. It's far beyond what you can imagine. So when I told my mother I want to travel the world, I've been to 60 nations now. 1982, I took a trip around the world visiting missionaries all over the globe. Now, do I say that to say, look at Uncle Sam? No. I'm saying, God Almighty has a dream and a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. And it is far beyond what you can imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither's entered into the mind and the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. Many of you are cross-culture. Why are you cross-cultural? I grew up in Texas. I think I got out of Texas two times by the time I went to university. But when I left Texas in 1966, I never have lived there since. So you're cross-cultural for a reason. You're cross-cultural for the kingdom of God and for the extension of the kingdom of God. Now, Joseph gets down there, and one commentary says this, that Potiphar was actually the main hatchet man. In other words, he would get rid of people that Pharaoh didn't want around. In other words, he killed the people. So how would you like to live in his house? I don't think I would. So, but the Bible says this. This is found in Genesis 39, 1 through 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. This doesn't just happen. Joseph had to deal with all of those issues in his heart about his brother selling him? And if your brother sold you, how would that affect you? I mean, I would want to, right? So think with me about this. Here's the man that was in a family that was dysfunctional, went down, his brothers hated him, hated him, hated him, and they wanted to kill him, and they finally sold him. He goes down into Egypt with all this baggage. I mean, like, major baggage. Anybody have any? You've had things that happen in your family, and you get baggage. Huh? Come on. I know you got the perfect family, but Uncle Sam didn't have a perfect family. Joseph was favored by his father, and that made his brothers want to kill him. And they finally sold him. Now, anybody here besides myself was a favorite of your mom or dad? It's not good if you're not the favorite, but I was the youngest, and so I was a favorite. Hey, yay, yay. Well, but wherever Joseph went, the Bible says he prospered. Now, that didn't just because he was a cool guy. That was because he had a plan and a purpose to prosper. And I want to give you three simple things real quickly. It's not on the notes. Sorry. This is the latest edition. Now, first of all, is he had a passion in his heart toward God. There was nothing around him. There was no da 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 da. We worship God. There was nothing like that around him. He had no family. He had no friends. But listen what he had. He had a passion for God. And whatever goes on in your life, having a passion for the Lord will get you to the right place at the right time. Now, through the years, I'm 74. I've had a few ups and downs in my life. Sometimes very down, and sometimes very up. But in life, whatever happens, we've got to keep our passion for love and love for God. Would you put your finger in your neighbor's face and said, keep your passion for God? Whatever happens, say it with me. Whatever happens. Say it again. Whatever happens. Keep your passion for the Lord. And I can tell you, Joseph would have rotted in Egypt if he hadn't have stirred that passion for God. All of us have high tide and low tide in our lives. It's not, if we have high tide all the time, it's going to be a flood. If we're going to have low tide all the time, that's a drought. But we have high tide and low tide. And every single one of us have times when we're flying on the top of things. Yay, yay, yay. All of a sudden, tide goes out. I'm not a surfer, but I tried body surfing one time. A few times. And I'm out there in the waves, and it was wonderful. But I was in a place that Uncle Sam shouldn't have been there. All of a sudden, I'm on top of this wave, and it goes out. And I come down head first and hit the sand. Guys break their necks like that. And guess what? High tide, low tide. It happens. Everybody has high tide and low tide. Now, I know those of you that are not married, you've never had low tide. But anybody that's married, you have high tide, low tide. The second thing is Joseph processed the issues that he had with his brothers. And I can tell you this, if he didn't process the issues that he had with his brothers, he would have died there. Things happen in life. Say that with me. Things happen. I wish they didn't. But guess what? They do. Our first child was a Down syndrome child. We loved him. We accepted him. And after 8 months, he had a congenital heart problem. He passed away. Now, why did that happen? I don't know. Say that with me. I don't know. I used to know, but after I matured a little bit, I don't know. Say it with me. I don't know. Why do things happen? But I do know this. If I don't process it right, I will die in the prison. Self-imposed prisons. And guess what? You will too. When things happen in life, we have to process it and come out with this conclusion. God is a good God. Point your finger in your neighbor's face and say, God is a good God. He does not have your number up and say, tick, Sam, you did it. I'm going to wipe you out. No. God loves us with an everlasting love. He has a plan and a purpose that's so far. Now, Joseph had these dreams, and when he went to prison by being lied about by Potiphar's wife, he could have died there if he hadn't processed that. And the Lord's purpose in your life is that you process things and don't die in your own self-imposed prison. Everybody said, amen. Say it again. Everybody said, you don't want a self-imposed prison. The third thing is Joseph grew while he was in prison. And God's plan for your life and my life is to keep our passion alive, process those things that happen to us, and come out with the conclusion that God is good. And he has a plan and a love and a purpose for your life that is so far beyond what you can imagine. He has a dream. And Joseph could have lost that dream in prison. I could lose that dream. You can lose that dream by not processing things. But the most important one, is you grow. You progress. That's the third thing. He grew. And man, you don't become the leader of the second in command of Egypt if you don't grow. And it's your responsibility as a follower of Christ not to just come to church. Thank God you're here today. But you don't want to just go to church. You want to grow. You want to become all you can be because that's God's plan and purpose for your life. That you would be and that you would do and that you would impact. That you would encourage and build and strengthen. And that man grew in every negative situation that he was in. Don't say you can't grow. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You can grow. You can develop. You can become a bodybuilder like Uncle Sam. No, I'm joking. There is no situation in life that you can't grow in the middle of it. And that man, because he had passion, he processed things, he went from the prison to the second in command of all of Egypt. We can do it, folks, by the help and the grace of God. And I know there's times when Joseph, I'm sure he was a human being just like you and I. And he'd say, God, where is that dream? God, you said my brothers are going to bow down to me. You said I was going to be this and that. Where's that dream, Lord? Anybody ever had those kind of sense and feelings in your life? Keep your passion for God. Keep processing the issues of life and grow. And Joseph went from there to there. Now, would you just take a moment and close your eyes? Don't go to sleep. Some of you are nodding a little bit. It's a little warm. Just think about what the Lord has said to your life. Maybe it wasn't a nighttime dream, but maybe it was something deposited in your heart. And would you just ask the Lord to renew that in your heart? Joseph could have gotten so discouraged during that process that he just gave up. And as you're there, just cup your hands and say, Lord, breathe afresh on the dreams that you've given me. Forgive me when I have not processed what people have done to my life. Forgive me when I let my brothers get the best of me and I did not process what they did to me. Thank you, Father, for every single life here. And I ask you now that you would breathe afresh upon those dreams. Lord, give them the grace, every person, to believe you afresh and to begin to put in process, passion, and progress. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.